to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 16. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent a servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. But I say unto you that none of those men were forbidden shall taste of my supper. Keep your place there, and let us read a verse in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And we'll read that lovely verse that's so often read at a gospel meeting. Revelation 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. I read these two portions of the Word of God to compare or contrast the verse 23 of Luke 14 with verse 20 of Revelation 3, and to stress that particularly the two words come in. And Luke 14, compel them to come in. That's the word, that's the invitation, the urgent invitation to the sinner, to the lost soul, to the soul that needs Christ, come in. They were urged, they were compelled, they were entreated to come in. Everything had been provided, the feast was ready. This presents to us God's great salvation. It wasn't a famine, it wasn't a funeral, it was a feast. Coming to Christ is coming to a feast. Everything is ready. Salvation has been prepared. And the word was to the servant, of course, the type of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew's Gospel, in connection with the feast, it's plural, the servant. But here it is the singular, the servant. It is the Holy Spirit that urges and compels sinners to come in, to come to Christ. So thank God he has, shall I say, servants under him, who likewise in fellowship with the Holy Spirit urge, entreat, invite, and compel sinners to come in before it is too late. For if we're going to enter into that glory we're hearing about, we've got to enter in now into the kingdom of God. We've got to come now if we're going to meet him in the glory and be with him for eternity. So the word is, compel them to come in. And then in contrast, in Revelation 3, it's the Savior coming in. Luke 14, it's the sinners coming in. And Revelation 3, it's the Savior coming in. If any man hear my voice, and behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. The Savior is very anxious to come into your heart tonight, beloved friend. And I wonder if you will receive him. I wonder if there will be room in your heart for him. We often sing room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. I speak to some of you tonight, and perhaps for many years the Lord Jesus has been entreating and knocking and pleading at your heart's door, and yet you're keeping him outside. But once again, in loving kindness and in matchless patience, he stands, he's near, he draws near, and he knocks at your heart's door tonight, and he wants admission, and he wants to come in, because someday it will be too late. Soon thy heart be cold and silent, and the Savior's pleading cease. But going back to Luke 14, the word is, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now I know we cannot go beyond the work of the Holy Spirit. That is not our desire. We're very careful about that. But we would, as it were, leave no stone unturned to invite, to entreat, and to urge precious souls to enter in. That is by coming to Christ, the one who said, I am the door. by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, to come now to the feast, that is to God's salvation, before it is too late. For I say, soon that door will close, and then the dreadful words, and no room. But tonight, thank God, the door is open, and the invitation is extended. And if you're here tonight without Christ, God invites you, and Christ invites you, and the Spirit invites you, and we invite you. And the word here is very urgent. Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. First of all, it's say to them that we're bidden. And then it's bring them in, but now it's compel, you see. As the time draws near, the deadline for that door to be shut, for ultimately that door was shut, it was compel. And we trust tonight we shall know the compelling power of the Holy Spirit. And if some of you boys and girls and young men and women are still outside the fold, outside the feast, that is, you haven't come to Christ, that you might be urged and entreated and compelled to enter in, for the day is coming, I say, when that door will be closed. We used to sing when I was a lad, and it spoke to my heart, someone shall knock when the door is shut, shall you, shall I. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming, and the door is shut, will be shut, and it will be shut finally. One wrote the words, I saw the door, and meant to go within the room someday. I looked around and marked the ground, lest I forget the way. When I returned, all was the same, except anywhere before. A light had been, no light was seen, and God had closed the door. The door is going to close. Very briefly, I would suggest several reasons why we would, in the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, compel you to come in tonight, because we want to be urgent about this matter. It could be our last gospel meeting. It could be your last call. It could be the last invitation. You say, well, if I thought that I was being entreated and invited and called for the last time, I would make my decision tonight. It could be the last time. I think my other brethren who preach the gospel could tell you of case after case, as we could of those who listened to the gospel and heard the voice of the Lord and were warned and entreated and urged to come to Christ, and it was their last meeting and their last opportunity, and as far as we know, a number of these dear souls went into eternity without Christ. This is why we are in such dead earnest tonight, as we say. People say, well, now why don't you men just get up and preach your sermon and take things easy and be calm and quiet and just give the doctrine of the gospel? Well, we feel this thing very keenly. We feel that our souls here who may be left behind and left outside for eternity. The Lord is coming, and one shall be taken and the other shall be left. What a verse! One shall be taken, a sure deliverance. The other, a sad division, shall be left, a solemn doom. In those few words, a sure deliverance and a sad division and a solemn doom. And what an awful experience to be left behind when the Lord comes. Left behind for judgment. Left behind for the wrath of God. Left, though God pleaded often, called thee again and again. Left, but all was in vain. Thou wouldst not hear. Hearken, all was in vain. Left not because he wished it. Left to thine own self-will. Left when thy heart grew harder. Thou wert rebellious still. Left for the coming judgment. And left for the sinner's doom, and left while thy light day darkens into a solemn gloom. Left but instead of heaven, what shall thy portion be? Weeping and wailing only all through eternity. My, I wonder, as I look into faces tonight, could it be I am looking into the face or the faces of some who are going to be left outside for God's eternal doom and judgment, for the wrath of God forever and forever left. But instead of heaven, what shall thy portion be? Weeping and wailing only all through eternity. What an awful thing to miss heaven, friend. And let me say this lovingly and yet plainly. If you miss heaven, you will not miss hell. Left for the wrath of God forever. This is why we are in earnest about this matter tonight. This is why we entreat and urge, and in fellowship with the Spirit of God, we compel you to come in. First of all, of course, the reason is very clear here, because the Lord wants his house filled, that my house may be filled. Isn't that marvelous? That's why the Lord died. The Lord said to his own, I go to prepare a place for you. I believe that means he was going to the cross to open heaven. That's why he could say to the dying thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And the Lord wants to have you with him in the glory, and loved ones want you with them in the glory. And the Lord has pleaded, and loved ones have prayed. What an awful thing to miss heaven when Christ has died to open the way, and the Lord Jesus wants you with him for eternity. And if you're left behind, you'll never say, the Lord didn't want me, that my house may be filled. God's house is fast filling. We sing, there's yet room to spare. Not a seat will be vacant, but will you be there? I remember being asked to take a funeral in the city of Pawtucket, Rhode Island, years ago. A dear mother had been taken. Thank God she was ready. She'd been called home to glory. Her husband was left, and he too was on his way to heaven. But there were several children in that family who were not saved, and most of them were married. And I was standing in a position where I could see the family in that separate room, and two young men from the assembly sang a hymn. I very rarely have heard it sung at a funeral. It was very solemn. Will the circle be unbroken? In that, how does it go in that line, by and by, when the loved ones round them gather in their home in the sky. And I watched, and I saw those young couples weeping and using the handkerchief as those words penetrated their hearts in love. Will the circle be unbroken? This disturbed me again and again when I was a lad, and I can truthfully say in the presence of God, never did I hear a message on the coming of the Lord before God saved me. My heart wasn't stirred, and I was awakened, and I went home and couldn't sleep as I thought of love and going to heaven, my being left outside. Oh, I was glad that night over 50 years ago as a lad when I found Christ as my Savior, when I received him at a conference meeting, a Saturday night conference meeting. Yes, it was. That's why I like to preach the gospel at a conference. And I came to Christ. I realized I was lost and doomed and condemned and would be left behind. And I felt that night, if I didn't trust Christ, I might miss it for eternity. And when the preacher preached on that glorious text, to his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, I could then withstand no more. Well, I saw my sins before, and I entered through the door and believed it. And I went home that night and I said, thank God I'm ready. Would you like to do that, dear soul? Dear boy or girl, wouldn't you like to leave this hall tonight and say, thank God I am ready. The Lord is coming and I am ready. The Lord wants you in heaven. And the Lord is disappointed when sinners reject him. He said to his own, I would, but ye would not. Oh, the awfulness of realizing if you miss heaven, that the Lord Jesus wanted you there and he died to have you there. And he met your need as a guilty sinner, but you rejected him. And though he pleaded often, you refused. And to realize, I'm here, I'm lost, I'm doomed, I'm outside forever. Not because the Lord didn't want me, not because there wasn't room for me, but because I deliberately rejected Christ as my Savior. How can you reject Christ tonight, dear soul, and go out of that door with the possibility that the Lord may come this very night and your soul be left and doomed and lost for eternity? I was preaching the gospel in a little hall in Bermuda one night. And perhaps some of you brethren have been to that very assembly. It's called the Crawl Assembly. And the little place was packed. There was no platform. There was no pulpit, just a little table. And I think it was, I forget the time, perhaps about 8:30. And we were preaching the coming of the Lord. And sometimes preachers make a statement, perhaps without realizing just how the effect of that statement in the hearts of the listeners. I said, you know, the Lord could be here before 9 o'clock. And the words were hardly out of my mouth till a young man who belonged to the Church of England, 26 years of age, walked to the front. And I stopped for a moment. I said, what is it, my friend? He says, I want to be saved. I didn't know what to do. There was no ante room. I said, now you sit right here in the front, and we'll get this meeting over very quickly, and we'll sit down with you. And I think in about 5 minutes or so, we closed the meeting and sat down with that young man, and he was really in earnest, and he wanted to be saved, and God saved him, and he's going on brightly for the Lord. But I was greatly interested as to what prompted him to leave his seat. Now I said, what prompted you to leave your seat tonight and walk up to the front while I was speaking? He says, Mr. Rieger, you made the statement that the Lord might be here before 9 o'clock. He said, I was afraid I would miss it. And I felt so ashamed, I told him to wait 5 minutes. But he wanted to be saved. He thought the Lord might come before 9 o'clock. He was real, and God saved him. Brother Linson made that statement tonight. The Lord could be here before it is time to close this meeting, though we're not going to keep it overtime. The Lord wants you in the glory, a dear sinner. This is why he died. This is why he shed his blood. This is why he agonized and bled and suffered on Calvary, to have you for himself. Oh, the awfulness of missing heaven. You know, I sometimes think, the last sight that unconverted lost souls will have Christ as Christ as the Lamb, for he sits on the throne as the Lamb. And when they hear that voice, depart from me, lightly, possibly, am I correct? The last sight sinners will have Christ. Yes, he'll be judged, but it'll be the Lamb on the throne. There he sits, the slightest stranger, still he bears the marks of love. Oh, that I had sought his favor when I felt the Spirit move. It could be the Spirit of God is striving with some soul tonight. Jesus is knocking at my poor heart. We used to sing, shall I be saved tonight? If I reject him, he may depart. Shall I be saved tonight? Over and over his voice I hear. Sweetly it falls on my listening ear. Can I, shall I reject him, a friend so dear? Or shall I be saved tonight? What about it down this aisle and this aisle and this aisle and this aisle? What about it? Are you going to say not tonight? Oh, that dreadful answer, not tonight. And thou shalt hear at heaven's gate, there is no room for thee. The Lord wants his house filled. Then, a second reason for compelling you is, all things are now ready. If we had to ask you to do something or to bring something, we could well understand you saying, well, I can't do it, I can't pray, I haven't a penny to give, and I can't do anything to help my way into heaven. My friend, do you not realize there's nothing to do, that all has been done? Christ has finished the work. Christ has paid the debt. Christ has satisfied God, the justice of God, and he bore the judgment of God in your account. And all things are ready. You know, when we have a company in our home which we love, and my dear wife prepares things in the kitchen and everything is ready, it's no hardship for me to go into the living room and say to our guests, come, for all things are now ready. This is not a basket lunch where you bring something with you, and God prepares part, and you bring the other part. Everything is ready. Christ has died. On the cross he cried, it is finished. This is why we urge you to come, because there's nothing to do but come. And take the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. I remember at meetings we had down in the vicinity of Atlanta, Georgia, where we labored. Our brother Hoffman and I used to spend a little time together in the early days in the state of Georgia, but in the year 1935, we pitched a tent, and we kept the tent on that same lot for 23 weeks. Please don't ask me what I preached on for 23 weeks. I couldn't tell you. I know we preached on John 3 and 16 every night for the first week. The souls were drinking in the simple gospel, and as Brother Frank Pierce has said, there's some places you go, and it's so easy to preach, you can preach from your believer's hymn book. The souls are really anxious and really thirsty, and they were. And Brother Bob Crawford came down with me. Many of you know him for a couple of months. And one night a lady came to the meeting, and we thanked her for coming. We said, we're glad to see you. I said, what is it that brought you? Were you invited? Well, she said, Mr. Crawford came to my door the other day, and she said, he spoke so well about the Lord Jesus, I thought I'd like to come and hear him. Wasn't that nice? And anyway, God began to deal with her. She was a lovely mother, a wife, and neighbor, and citizen, and faithful church member, and all the rest. But we were preaching about this matter of being saved, and knowing you were saved, and being born again, and ready for heaven. And God spoke to her, and God awakened her to the reality that she was not ready, that she never had an experience, she'd never been to Christ. She wasn't saved. And one night, we preached simply on that text, it is finished, all things are ready, it is finished. She went home pondering those words, it is finished. But she had a restless night. In the morning she went out in the backyard to feed her chickens, and she got the job done and stood under the tree, for it was a hot day in August. She thought, oh, how can I get rid of this burden? How can I know the assurance these men are talking about? I've already been saved, and having my sins forgiven, and knowing I'm going to heaven. And the Spirit of God, what words shall I use? He reiterated the words of the night before into her heart and mind. It is finished. Standing under the tree, she thought, well, what am I trying to do? What am I waiting for? If it's finished, it's finished. The work is done, and Christ has died. And there, she trusted Christ as her Savior. She came because all things were ready. Oh, so on, say, there's nothing for you to do but come to Christ tonight. That is, if you know you're lost. If you don't know you're lost, you can't come. He only receives lost, guilty sinners. But if you know you're lost tonight, and on the road to hell for eternity, and you fear being left behind when the Lord comes, everything is ready. The work is done. The debt is paid. God is satisfied. and there's nothing for you to do but come. Another reason is why we entreat you is God's patience, yet there is room. Oh, think of the numbers that have entered in, the countless numbers that have been saved, and multitudes in various parts of the world will be saved tonight. But yet, there is room. A message of God's great provision, there's room. A message, shall I say, of patience, yet there is room. But a message with a limitation, or someday thou shalt hear, there is no room for thee. Thank God we don't preach tonight. There was room. That would be sad. We dare not say there will be room tomorrow night. You say, well, I'm coming back to the gospel meeting tomorrow night. That's good. But tonight, dear soul, there is room. Yet there is room, the Lamb's Bride Hall of Song, with its fair glory, beckons thee along. Room, room, still room. Oh, enter, enter now. Yes, think of God's matchless patience. Yet there is room. He has waited. He's been waiting for you, dear boy, and you, dear girl, or man or woman, and he's waiting tonight. I wonder, are you coming home tonight? Come. Are you coming home tonight to Christ? Are you going to keep him waiting longer? You may keep him waiting one night, one meeting too long, shall I say, and miss heaven. What a tragedy. Yet there is room. But I would compel you to come in because of the possibility here, the warning. The door will be shut. Why, that door will be shut suddenly, instantly, and finally. And I say, what an awful thing to be so near, just outside the door. Within reach of that door, and that door shut. I remember preaching the gospel in the city of Toronto on Sunday night, and we went down after the meeting to put Mr. J.M. Davies of India on the train for Montreal, and the train left at midnight. We waited with him. Finally, the call was given, and upstairs he went. And just about the midnight hour, the wire gate was shut by the guard. And at that moment, a young couple came rushing up. And the father had a little baby in his arms. Oh, he said, open that gate. We must make that train. We must be in Montreal in the morning. The guard said, I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to open this gate. Oh, said the young man, please let us through. We'll make it. He says, no. You hear? The wheels are rolling now. He says, you're just a few seconds too late. And I said to dear Paul, what a tragedy for souls to be just a few seconds too late. A few minutes too late. Too late. Too late will be the cry. Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. Well, you see, if I thought this were the last invitation, if I thought the Lord was coming tonight, I'd get inside and I'd do it tonight. You better, dear soul. Like that young man in Bermuda, he feared the Lord would come before 9 o'clock. We've announced meetings tomorrow. We've announced the meeting in the morning when we'll have the privilege of being at the Lord's table. But you know, we may be gathered around the Lord in glory tomorrow morning. And there's some of you, dear soul, and you'll be left in the Atlantic or around here, and you'll know your doom is sealed and you're destined for hell and the lake of fire, and the doors are going to close and never be opened. And those that refuse are never invited again. Oh, could we, in fellowship with the Spirit of God, urge some dear soul in this audience to come to Christ tonight? The Savior's waiting. Listen to those words as I close in Revelation 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. The Savior asks you to come in. That's your step of faith. But he waits to come into your heart. Five things I want to say about this knock in closing. It's a knock of loving desire. The Lord Jesus is knocking at your heart. The knock and the voice are the same thing here. Do you hear him knocking tonight? Do you hear him knocking through the preaching of the Word? The working of the Holy Spirit? Do you hear his voice? Do you know? Do you not realize the Lord is knocking? Someday he'll knock for the last time and he'll leave you. My heart be cold and silent and the Savior's pleading ceased. It'll be too late. I knew a dear girl. She was very careless. Her mother was a Christian. Her mother often pled with her. Oh, Mary, why not accept Christ? Why not get saved? Says, Mary, Mother, leave me alone. You're always bothering me. Why don't you quit and leave me alone? One day, very suddenly, that mother took ill, and in a day or two, she was gone. She went to heaven. I wasn't at that funeral. I couldn't go to take it. But a friend of mine who went said it was dreadful. That dear girl, 16 years of age, almost literally threw herself in the body of her mother, and she sobbed out, "Mother," she said, "if you'd only speak to me now, I would listen, I would hear, and I would trust Christ." But it was too late. That voice was silent. The Savior is knocking tonight. What if he should call? What if he should knock no more? A knock of loving desire. A knock of deliverance. If you let him in, you'll be delivered from your misery, from the power and passion of your sin and the lust of your sin. Delivered from your fear and from the burden of your sin. It'll be a glorious deliverance. It's a knock of decision. When you come to my door and knock and or ring the bell, I must make a decision either to keep you out or let you in. A decision is necessary when there is a knock. About it tonight, dear soul. I know we can abuse those terms, decision for Christ, but what will your answer be as the Savior knocks? Are you going to open tonight? Are you going to let Him in? Are you going to say, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for Thee"? Or will it be, on the Savior's part, a knock of disappointment? He's knocking again tonight. And you're going out that door. And the Lord will say, "I will, I would, but you would not." And I close. It's a knock of destiny. What is it? Says the Lord, "If you receive me into your heart, I'll receive you into my home. If you'll let me make your heart my throne, I'll let you sit on my throne." That's the proposition here. If you let me in, I'll let you in. That's it, in essence. Are you going to let Christ in tonight? Are you going to enter in? The door is open wide tonight. It might be shut. Are you going to let Christ in? His door is open. Your door is closed. Will you open your door tonight? Say, "Lord Jesus, come in. I've kept Thee out so long. I waited far too long. But Lord Jesus, just now, my doubtings I give o'er. Just now, I'll reject Thee no more. Just now, I'll throw open the door. Lord Jesus, come into my heart." While the Spirit is pleading, while God is calling, while Christ is knocking, while God is waiting, is there a soul in this audience who will say, "Lord Jesus, come in tonight. My door is open. Enter in. I will trust Thee." And as He enters in, you'll enter in. The two are linked together. Maybe you should come tonight. You'll enter in through the gates above to sing redemption's story. I will meet you in heaven. And the circle will not be unbroken. What about it tonight? The challenge is yours. He's waiting. He's calling. He's pleading. It could be the last. Will you let Him in tonight? He knocks with a nail-pierced hand. Will you take Him as your Savior? Will you yield? Will you bow? Will you come? Will you trust? Oh, that high heaven might hear that answer from your heart tonight. "Yes, Lord. I'm coming tonight. Yes, Lord. My door's open. Come into my heart. I'm going to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus." Let us pray. Our Father, we have been reminded of the one who is to come, the great things that will happen. It thrills our heart to hear this blessed truth again. And our hearts are longing to be with Him evermore. And our hearts cry out expectantly, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." What a thrill to be caught up and caught away and taken out of this world to meet our blessed Lord and enter in with Him and share His glory and sing His praise for eternity. But oh God, we think of the loved ones here tonight. We think of one long ago who said, "How can I go up to the Father and the lad be not with me?" There are sons and daughters tonight and brothers and sisters and perhaps fathers and mothers, and they're not saved. We've been reminded, our God, of the compelling power of the Holy Spirit. Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. We know, our God, that Thy house will be filled. The Lord Jesus will have every seat filled in the glory because He died. But what a tragedy. How dreadful. If there should be souls, boys and girls, men and women in this audience who would, having been invited, yet left outside and left behind for the awful night of judgment and eternal wrath and doom. As the Lord draws near to their hearts and knocks so patiently and so tenderly with that nail-pierced hand, oh, may the answer be, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for Thee." And again we pray that high heaven might hear that silent decision tonight, those words from some heart going upward, "Christ for me. Rebuke the power of the adversary, we pray. Deliver us from levity and lightness and foolishness, our God. This is a solemn moment. May we realize it. And may work be done for God and for eternity. Grant that real definite, shall we say, Holy Ghost decision shall be made by some in this audience in coming to Christ and letting Christ into their heart. They may go home tonight with the joy of the Lord in their soul and the assurance that all is well and they're ready for His coming. We pray this in His worthy name. Amen. Our brother Don will take over.